Lovely, and welcome to With Joy and Love podcast. My name is Isabella Silva, and this is actually a re-upload of the episode zero introduction. It had been a little bit since I had originally started this, and I'm coming at this now with a bit of a different mindset. I'm going to preface this with the fact that if you hear little tiny noises or grunts, that is my almost 3-month-old golden retriever puppy Molly in the middle of her nap time right now, dreaming. So if you hear that, please just ignore it. But yeah, I'm really excited to get started on this adventure, and I just really hope that I really hope God takes over, and I'm really excited to see what he's gonna do. So I guess we can just get started. So the original, point to this podcast, or I guess the inspiration for this podcast, started around my 21st birthday, which I guess I need to give a background a little bit to my testimony on kind of what led up to the events of that birthday and why that birthday is so significant for me. I'll try to summarize as best I can. I grew up in an Adventist community, one that I would say leans very strict, very conservative. I did grow up in the Bible Belt. I am like Northern Nashville based, so that isn't unheard of. Essentially, my family, particularly my father, questioned some of their teachings, and there were some disagreements, and we were mildly kicked to the curb. And of course, the adjoining school there wasn't the biggest fan of that, and so it made life at school pretty hard for me, as far as that goes. We were churchless for a while, and so at school, I was getting bullied and like silent treatmented and all of this stuff that just made it borderline unbearable for me. And then at home, there were previously like a lot of family issues, intentional or not. There was a lot of emotional abuse going on. A lot of like physical intimidation, you know, just like all of these things that combined together, I guess, made the perfect storm. And I want to say it around the age of maybe like, I was maybe around eight. I remember sitting in my bedroom thinking like, what is so wrong with me that God doesn't want me to have a good family? Which is horrible, first of all, and my poor little 8-year-old self, I did not know the magnitude of what I was thinking back then. And I carried that resentment with me throughout the years, and it bled into a lot of other things. It bled into a anxiety disorder. If you have heard of the disorder trichotillomania, that is something that I have. It is, undiagnosed a lot of the time. It's actually getting a little more attention now, which I am pretty decently grateful for, because at the time when I developed it, it was really not a thing, or at least it wasn't a broadcasted thing, and so it created a lot of self-esteem issues for me at the time. It is something that, as of recently, I have struggled with a little bit. But it is getting a little bit better. Just general anxiety, I think, has kind of pulled that up to the surface a little bit. Had that going on. I had multiple types of eating disorders going on. I was fluxing between not eating and throwing up, and then being completely on the opposite scale and being bulimic and throwing up, and then just straight binge eating disorder. My diet was all over the place. And at the time, at home, there was a, I want to say, not from both parents, but from a parent, that there was a push to be healthy, look good, look fit. And I can now look back on that and say that that was well-intentioned. But as a growing teenager, it's just taken very personally. Especially the way that it was conveyed was taken really personally. So that also didn't really play into that fact. The bullying got so bad at my, and the home life, truthfully, as well. They both got so bad that I ended up needing a change of pace, so I switched to public school. And I found many new friends there. However, I hesitate to say that they were not a negative influence on me by any means, but they also weren't necessarily like godly friends that I could lean on. And at the time, I was in such a state of fight or flight that it wasn't something that I was readily paying attention to. And when I switched, or about a year after I switched into a public school, one of my very most dear, oldest, and closest friends, she ended up having some mental health struggles, and it just did not really end super well around that time for her, and a lot of trauma had occurred within her life, and she unfortunately thought that she did not serve a purpose being here anymore. Safe to say she is grown now, and she is alive and healthy, and I hope very happy, so I am eternally grateful to that, praise the Lord. But back then, it was just this long string, and with everything else going on, I had thought that it was partially my fault. Like, I wasn't helping her enough, or I wasn't a good enough friend to her, so in my mental state, I took a lot of the brunt for what happened, and it pushed me into that segment. She did not, but the guilt that I held as a child pushed me into that segment where I thought it was better if I wasn't here, and it created a whole, just this whole complex string of several years where my self-esteem was at an all-time low. The anxiety and the health issues were at an all-time low. I didn't know who I was whatsoever. I couldn't rely on any family members. Most of my friends had mental health issues as well. So that wasn't really a great source of stability there. Not that they weren't wonderful, but we all had our issues back then. And frankly, it just led to a lot of self-harm, borderline addictive self-harm. Praise the Lord, that is not the case now anymore. But back then, being honest with you guys, I didn't really see the point of me existing, and I felt that my existence and my birth was an accident, that it was a burden to my mother, and I was a burden to everyone else. And if I could serve people and make them happy, then I guess that was my purpose. But other than that, I served no purpose, and I had no point in being here. Any good thing or compliment that got really directed my way during those years, I was like, you're lying to me. You either want something out of me, or you're just saying that to make me want to kill myself less. And frankly, y'all, and I'll put a trigger warning on this, because I don't want to unintentionally bring up any thoughts for people. That is the last thing I would like to do. But this is a very open podcast, and I want to be as direct and honest with you guys about things going on in my life in this regard. And there were nights where I could not physically be satisfied with myself that night unless I was drawing copious amounts of blood out of my body. Or unless I was like, oh, okay, I have done this now so much at this spot where it's welting, or it hurts, or it burns. And it won't stop. Okay, I've done enough of what I can do. like the burden that I am to my mother is fixing this because I'm hurting myself. And that was just like my life. Like I was enveloped in that whole thing of like my family doesn't care enough to stop the arguing. My friends don't care enough to even try to stay alive. So like I'm just a burden and I'm not doing anything. What is the point to me being here then? I serve no purpose. Again, a horrible spot to be in, and praise God that is not the case now. But I definitely did not have it as bad as it was. I did not have it as bad as other people in my friend group. And it feels wrong to thank for that maybe, but I just like, it could have been much worse on me than it was. And looking back, the Lord definitely barred that from me. And it never really went away throughout high school. It just kind of diminished a little bit, but it was its strongest during middle school and throughout the beginning of my high school career, I guess you could say. To continue towards the beginning of my high school days, because I did not have a strong male figure and because I was not finding my identity in Christ, that turned to boys, but it was in this very twisted sense of like, I would love for a boy to like me, but I think so lowly of myself that any boy that's going to tell me that they like me, I don't believe them at all. Like, they're lying to me and they want something out of me. So it created this very weird, really weird pick-me complex, honestly. I'm not too sure how to view that now that I'm older and I look back on it. And around the age of 14, and she's going to giggle because I'm friends with her still. Praise the Lord for her mercy and for her grace and for her forgiveness. At the time, I was best friends, sisters, whatever you'd like to call it, with someone that I had grown up with from the Christian school that I had gone to. And I mean, like, we were inseparable. She would stay at my house for vacationing, like when her parents would go on vacation, she'd come to my house. And she was always great. She would always push me to take care of myself, which, like, looking back on that was incredible because, and I hope she doesn't mind, but she also suffered through some mental health issues at the time. And so for her to, like, look out for me like that while she was struggling with herself is just crazy. Like, crazy, like, I don't know how she did that. She's got a very strong will. And she ended up liking a boy at the time. And we were, you know, being 13, 14-year-old girls, you know, just trying to, like, oh, ha, 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 like, a boy likes you, ha. And I honestly have blocked out a lot, so I'm not entirely sure how this even occurred, but I ended up striking conversation with this guy while they were on FaceTime when she was at my house, and we all just started, like, talking, I guess. And he ended up messaging me over Instagram just, like, to start conversation, to be friendly, I guess. And I'm sorry, I'm just taken aback at how far I was from finding my identity in Christ, because I cannot imagine how this would have been different, but everything happens for a reason. Over the coming weeks, he kept messaging me, eventually elected to make a move on me, and told me that he was going to let her know that he was not interested anymore in her, and then he wanted to be with me. And something about that in my soul didn't feel right, but I had low self-esteem issues. I knew of Christ, but I did not know him personally. I had dad issues. Like, there was a plethora of things going on. And I pretty much told her, and then he told her, and she tried calling me. I was even at church while this was occurring. She tried calling me and was like, I don't know what's going on because he's always told me that he's interested in me, all, all like the weird girly stuff. And I pretty much said through my actions, I don't care about our friendship, and I'm willing to give this like lifelong friendship up for this boy that I don't even know, because I wanted to feel cared for. And we stopped being friends for a while, and rightly so. The amount of grace and mercy that this woman has on me is insane, and I just want to praise God for that. That boy, which I will go into more detail about this a different time if the episode or if the episode deems it necessary, if it's a topic that is discussed, or if God directly calls me to discuss this. He ended up being so incredibly abusive in every way imaginable, furthered away my relationship from Christ, and just completely destroyed my view, or at least what shred of it was left, of what it means to love and be loved, and healthy masculinity. And it was just probably one of the hardest year or twos that I've ever had to go through. It was pretty rough. It damaged a lot out of me. It took pretty much everything, every ounce of energy that I had, it completely stripped it out of me. But by the grace of God and God alone, he definitely gave me the strength one day to just end it without really any explanation, because that was the only way that I, at the time, I think I had the strength to do with his help. And luckily after that, that had quit, and I did not reach out to this particular friend for several years. But when I finally did reach out to her, we had a conversation. And that is something I will keep private, but again, I just want to praise and exalt the Lord for giving her just massive amounts of tenderness, mercy, forgiveness, like I have probably never seen before in my life. And I am so grateful to her for that, and I am so grateful that I can still call her a friend and, like, I would say close family member now. Cannot imagine my life without her, and I don't get to see her as much as I would like. But she holds a very special place in my heart, and I will never take her friendship for granted. Bar that, I went through high school kind of doing my own thing, because I was so barred, like, well, you know, God is supposed to be a father figure, mine is horrible, I'm going to associate the Lord's presence with my earthly father figure, which did not end well. And like, well, if God had a plan for me, he would have given me a good guy, I guess, which is like ridiculous looking back on that. So I went through high school and just said, I'm gonna do my own thing, I'm gonna do whatever the heck I would like. I've earned it, I have gone through so much, excuse me, I've gone through so much issues that like I'm gonna do whatever I want to do because that's what I want, and I have never gotten what I want. And it roped into this whole like, I'm gonna make excuses for my behavior. I'm gonna essentially be borderline narcissistic, and super selfish, and just all kinds of crazy things. I went through high school kind of boy hopping because, like, what else was there to do in my mind than that? And I developed a really big love for like entertainment and theater and all this stuff. And essentially, all that boils down to is just self-glorification. And I still didn't know who I was, still didn't know who I was in Christ. And I would still regularly attend church. I would still, I guess, quote unquote, feel moved. And I had an encounter. With a friend at First Baptist Walk Weekend, where her and this particular youth leader at the time, like the Holy Spirit just moved in my heart. and was like, hey, like, I'm giving you a nudge here. This isn't right. What you're doing is not right. You need to repent. And I don't think at the time I realized the magnitude of that. Months later, I got baptized, and I would not trade that for the world, very obviously. But I just didn't realize the magnitude of what kind of calling that was from Christ. But I started to dive more deep into my word then. Like, I actually had a mild time alone with God routine towards the end of my high school career, I guess. I was still, however, dead set on the controversial topic incoming. I'm a girl boss. I'm a feminist. I don't need no man. And I'm going to do what I'm going to do. I'm not going to submit to any man. And you guys, if you have a problem with that, then don't be with me. Essentially was my mindset at the time. I was going to be an actress or a film director, and I was going to travel the world, and I'm sorry, it's just ridiculous now, thinking back on that. I didn't want any children, I wanted to live alone, and like, thought I was content in all of that, and really, it was just control. Like, I just wanted to feel like I was in control of my life for once. Kept thinking that way, kept major hopping all throughout college, like my first couple years, until we reached a certain breakup that happened during my college time. And it made me kind of sit there and think, like, okay, what am I doing? There's something I'm doing that's not correct here. And something I'm doing isn't right, obviously. And so I took a lot of time to, like, read about, I guess, things like that. And, like, I was introduced to one of the books that we will be covering in this podcast. Took a lot of time to self-reflect starting then. And just realized, like, wow, I am a sinner. And I deserve nothing. And everything that I thought that I was, it amounts to nothing. Like, that doesn't matter. Like, I deserve the worst possible outcome. And in His grace, He chose to die for me so that I would not have that worst possible outcome. Because He wanted a relationship with me, and because He wanted to further glorify Himself by just this entire process of me being saved, essentially. Praise the Lord. And on my 21st birthday, I talk a lot, but we're looping around. On my 21st birthday, I said, okay, I am done with childish things. Something I'm doing isn't right. Please soften my heart. Refine me. I don't care how big of a flame you have to do to get me there. But my way isn't working, and Your way is the only way that works. So create in me a clean heart and make me the woman of God that You need to be. I don't care what that takes. And even then, I don't think I realized the magnitude of exactly what I was saying. But I am so, the Holy Spirit moved, and I am just ecstatic that God in His mercy allowed that. And I guess I expected this huge change. Like, I was going to wake up a new person, and that obviously wasn't going to happen. I woke up the next morning turning 21, and I was like, okay, well, I just feel the exact same. But I started really, really hardcore diving deep into my word and, like, really trying my hardest to rest on His promises. That summer previously, The timeline is a little off kilter just because I was trying to get a full testimony out before getting to this. But over the course of the summer, I had three or two family members pass. One was expected, the other one was not expected, and then I had one diagnosed with terminal cancer. So my grandfather passed, just general old age, like we kind of all knew it was coming. A few weeks later, or earlier, I would need to actually double check on that. My godfather unexpectedly died of heat stroke, and that was a huge toll on our family. It was horrible, and I remember the day that I got the call. I was at a friend's birthday party while I was still living in Chattanooga, and I got a call, and it definitely changed the dynamic, because I had spent summers with my godfather and my godmother, and they were like second parents to me in a way, and just knowing I was never going to see him again was difficult. And then not like a few weeks after that, my family got word that my grandmother had terminal lung cancer. And that they were going to try their best for, therapy, but they didn't really have that great of an outlook on it. So it was just a lot, all kind of leading up to this point at 21. And so a little bit after my 21st birthday, I just noticed that my mother was doing everything alone. And I have a very, like, I'm pretty protective of my mom considering the childhood that I grew up in and the fact that she was essentially like the wall between me and anything horrible that could ever happen to me. And so as a young child, I was like, I will do whatever it takes to protect my mother. Like, that's, there is nothing else. Like, that's what I'm gonna do, no matter what that takes for me or for anything. And I just noticed she was doing everything alone. And I sat there and thought about my actions, and I was like, I haven't lived up to that action that I said that I would do. And so I contacted her while I was at college, and I was like, is there anything I can do to help? Because she was in school full time at the time and working full time and supporting an entire family and coming home and doing all that. Like, she was not getting any help, and she was married at the time, and it just did not sit right with my soul at all. And my grandmother that got terminal cancer, I guess I should have prefaced this, was also another family member I would consider was like that wall between anything that could ever happen to me that was negative. And her home was the safest space to date that I had. I would always look forward to going there. They lived on a farm, and they had tons of horses and tons of dogs, and my first dog ever lived there still, so like I was able to go visit. And she's an Appalachian woman, so she taught me a lot about canning and sewing and all of those fun trades, and like crocheting and cooking and all of these things. And looking back, I don't really think I appreciated the time that I was gifted with her, because the time I was gifted with her was during that point in middle school where I thought it was better if I was not there. And I didn't realize the gift that was given to me then, but this was the grandmother that was passing. So I told my mom, I went to go visit just to help out for a little bit. And I told my mom, I was like, do you want me to come home, like from college? Like, because this looks like it's gonna be a lot. And I just remember her going, I need help, yeah, please come home. So I came home. And at the time, I still was bouncing around with ideas, and I was like, maybe I'll do a Disney college program, maybe I will do this. Like, I still didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was like, the better use of my time would be to at least help my mother. So, in quite a short amount of time, I went from not knowing, essentially how to run a household and how to grow up and know a lot of trades and how to manage things. I went from barely knowing any of that to having to know it all within a few weeks because that was just the way that it was. Otherwise, things wouldn't get done. But I wouldn't trade it for the world, and that was definitely a refining period that God placed in my life. It was hard to watch my mother suffer through it. And eventually she did pass, my grandmother, she passed on Thanksgiving. And her last words were, I know where I'm going to be with Christ, and I would like all of you to be with me. And I had a little bit of confusion at the time with God because I was like, why not her? Why couldn't you have prevented this? That was a very short-lived, by the grace of God, attitude that I had. Everything that is done or that is allowed is done for the greater glory of Christ, that he can show himself and like show who he is. And looking back, I think that her death, it pushed my testimony so much farther than I ever thought that it could, that I honestly, without her death, I'm not sure how things would look different. She passed, I hopped around a little bit with schooling, and I wasn't aimless, but I felt stalled almost, I guess is what you can say. And I remember at the time I was working at a little coffee shop, different from the woman I'm currently working at. But I was just not having a good day. Like, nothing was going my way that day, and all of these things were just like building up in my system. And I remember my mom, I was on the phone with her, and she was like, I'm gonna pray for something tangible that, like God will show you his glory in a tangible way. And I quite literally said, don't bother. I am angry right now. I don't want that today. But the Lord elected to move anyway. And not maybe 30 minutes later. Man, I hope y'all are listening. I would love to actually like find you guys again. I had two people come into the shop, and I was telling them, it was just an accumulation of a lot of personal things happening at the time, but they had mercy on me, and they prayed over me, and they left, and I came back, and they offered, the girl offered me this little tiny signet ring that said Adonai on it, and the verse that I had read that morning was Haggai 2, and at the tail end of Haggai 2 it says, well, I have chosen you, I have made you like my signet ring. And that was just like, wow. Like, that was probably the most in my face on things that God has ever, like, his gaze was just on me. And I didn't know what to do with it. I was overwhelmed by I was just overwhelmed by his presence. And I have not been able to find this girl. So at the odd shot, if you're listening, please don't hesitate to reach out. I would love to hear from you and talk with you. That was another moment that just changed my life on how present he was, and that I was so ungrateful at the time for it. And I was overlooking it. And from that moment on, it was just like, I'm so hungry for Christ. I want to burn as bright as I can for Christ. Anything that I need to do to even have him glance my way, or for me to just touch the hem of his garment or to just have his presence go near me, I want that. Give that all to me and give it to me as much as possible immediately. So I started really hardcore searching for a good church, and I really finally got into a consistent place in my word, and ended up at Long Hollow for a while, and I can go into detail about how my views on church and theology have changed, and where I'm at now with that, which by the way is Covenant Presbyterian. If any of you are looking for a church, I am begging you, the presence of the Lord is in that church, and the people are some of the most loving and God-glorifying people I have ever met. You can feel the glory of God in the sanctuary, and you can feel the reverence for Him in every service, and I highly recommend that you either go or at least check it out online, please. But by that, I can explain how that's changed in a different episode. Because that has actually been fairly recent. But I started to find a little bit of a community and have met some really wonderful women out of that community. And it was lit on fire ever since. And I'm not going to pretend like there haven't been hard times since then, or stumbling blocks, or times where I've faltered, and times where I've had stretches where I'm like, I'm not in my word as I should be. But I have never not been hungry since then, and that is something that I realize isn't applicable to everyone, and so I just want to give all glory to God that I don't think I'll ever not be hungry. And I say that, I'm a human and I'm a sinner, so maybe that's not going to be true at some point, but I should never want that, I guess was my point. And all of that events, it just, around last year, it inspired this podcast, which was through my growth with Christ and through me developing a relationship with Him. One of my most favorite things about Him is His love. And I feel like that is a very, oh yeah, Christ is love. I don't think that people take into account the love of the gospel and the love of the resurrection and the love of the cross, the love of redemption. I don't think that is discussed enough. Or if it is, it is discussed on a very cookie-cutter, spoon-fed baseline, where the magnitude of how much He loves you it's not fully addressed. And as I dove deeper into my word, and failing it, but yet still attempting to try to love Christ as best I can, and not only have Him understand me, but me understand Him in return, me seek to want to get to know Him in return and have that relationship with Him while also just not underestimating His glory and His magnitude and His sovereignty, I always had come back to John 15, verses 9 through 12, which is the basis of this podcast. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. For this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. First of all, that's just the joy in that. I can't even begin, praise the Lord, I can't even begin to describe the joy in that verse. But my entire life, when I look back, I notice that my entire testimony was all about, I want to love people and feel loved in return. And that kind of love, it is only found through Christ. There is no other way that you can receive that. And once you have that, find it through Christ, you don't want to receive it any other way. Like, romantic relationships are a blessing, and they are a wonderful kind of love that should never be taken for granted. But the love of Christ and the magnitude that he loves you by, once that is understood, there is nothing else you need. That is joy enough. It fills you up enough. And I am so excited that I can start this podcast where we can walk through that together and understand that, like, just how much that means and how much that verse actually should sit in for us. And just the glory of the gospel. And, oh, I can't even put it into words. And, Lord, you need to speak through me because words are failing for the love of Christ. And I think that they always will. And for those of you that are listening that maybe you're baby believers, maybe you don't even know God yet, I would really encourage you, as cheesy as this sounds, please just look up the verse and sit on it and meditate on it. Even if you don't really fully understand what it means, or maybe you don't know how, just sit on it. And, oh man, this is going to be such an adventure. To get to glorify Christ, and to get to explore his sovereignty, and to understand the magnitude of his love for us. You can't see me right now, but I'm smiling this very big smile. It's such a joy. Which is why the podcast is named With Joy and Love. And we will go over topics such as who God is, why did God create us, what does God want from us, what is God looking for, why does he love us to begin with, what does God consider love, how is God love, what is it like to love God in return to the best of our ability, what is it like to love other people, so what is it like to be made in the image of God as a man and as a woman. We're going to cover so much, and I am so excited for it. And I will also have some episodes that are more like Q&A episodes on like biblical struggles, because I definitely don't want that to go unnoticed. I already have a couple of lineups for that on some suggestions, but if you have any suggestions, you can just reach out to the actual podcast Instagram page, and I would be more than happy to invite anyone on or address anything like that. The point of this podcast is all about reverence and glory to God for the amount that he bore on the cross because he loves you. That is what this is for. And I hope that anything on any of these episodes all bears that just straight glory to God and obedience to his will, and just the respect that he deserves. There is no greater father than he is. And I cannot physically keep silent on how much he loves you. It would be wrong of me to physically keep silent on how much he loves you, how much he loves everyone. Specifically, as a lovely lady named Ella that I happened to work with said the other day, God loves and bore the sins on the cross for the people that you hate the most. I also want to get into the magnitude of that, because those words as well are just, God doesn't just love the people that you love. And there's just so much more of the love of Christ than just the name love. I'm ready to dive deep into it, and I'm ready for you guys to come with me. Words fail, so If nobody has told you today, you are very loved by the Lord and by me, even if I do not know you. And again, if you guys have any prayer requests, please message me. If you need anyone to talk to, please message me. You are wonderfully made and infinitely loved, and I hope that you can find the joy in Christ's love for you. I really hope you can, and I hope that you will be able to share that with everyone possible. This was episode 0, and next episode will be fun, and I'm super excited. So praise the Lord, and exalt His name. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And may the Lord be with you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious. I hope the Lord gazes on you today. And He loves you, and so do I. So, till we meet again.